Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. Pray that you're off to a great and glorious week and that you are pressing into the Word of God. We want to thank you for joining us here as we dive into the Word of God. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and what it has to say from Paul to Timothy about how he is supposed to handle instruction. And so we're going to go all the way through chapter 2 here. We'll touch on something in chapter 3. We won't break that down, you know, verse by verse or anything like that. But do want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete. 321-536-5804. Yes, they even work in the cooler seasons of the year. And so, in fact, if I've got a project and it is not an urgent project, I try and schedule those when it's not as intense in the heat for them. They're not afraid to get up early and work hard and get the project done. But I like to try and, you know, be as considerate of those who work outside in the elements as much as I can. So they have decades of experience. They have great expertise and knowledge about contractors to use, the type of materials that need to be used, the prep work that needs to be done. They have tremendous expertise, and they have a great work ethic. If you have a concrete project, it might be well worth your time to give them a call, 321-536-5804, and let them put their skills to work on your project. Get it started on a solid foundation. In fact, that's one of the things that we read about here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands." And so you and I, we need foundations for the structures that we have in our life, and we also need a foundation, a solid foundation for our spiritual life that will work benefits on our behalf in every area of our life. So we're going back to verse number 14. We will read verses 14 all the way down to verse 19 today. And then we are going to pick up where we left off on yesterday's program, verse number 15. It says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So on yesterday's program, we had talked about, you know, to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, that you have met his standard, that he is, that you are working for his pleasure. And now in verse number 15, it continues and it describes that not only are we diligent to present ourselves approved to God, but we are a worker, a laborer, a person that is available for the task that God has for us to do. So several years ago, we had a hurricane that came through. It did damage to the water distribution system to the barrier islands, and so we were without running water for several days. We ended up having some supplies that were sent down from the Southern Baptist churches in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We ended up having two trucks. They were going to send a third, and I said, okay, we're back up and running. You don't need to send the third truck. Well, the first truck arrived at midnight on Saturday night. And we had as many men as we could. We had some young people. We had some, I think there was even one of their moms was there. And they helped us unload this truck at midnight. So got to bed around 2 o'clock of the morning. It was a long truck. It was a 48-foot truck. And then we got it unloaded. We got it stacked up. We had some men that stayed by it all night. They worked. Then we got up the next morning. We had church. And then after church, we distributed hurricane supplies, pallets of water. We distributed that all the way up until about 4 or 5 o'clock that night. And then we went home and crashed. On Thursday, the second truck, and I thought a 48-foot truck was a long truck until a 53-foot truck showed up. But the 53-foot truck was not packed as well as the 48-foot truck. It had a lot of the pallets had collapsed, and so everything is just kind of laying in there. And we had a bunch of people who were there. We had a forklift type device that we had rented, and we started unloading that truck, and it was taking forever. It didn't just take a couple of hours. It took a bunch of hours. And finally, I had my office manager, and I said, please start calling the churches around the area and see if we can get some help. And Teen Missions actually sent some people down. They worked really hard. Our guys worked really hard. And I can tell you that the Bible refers to ministry as the work of the ministry, and the work of the ministry takes workers. And, you know, you might think that the project may not need your help, but I'm telling you that we're not unloading a 53-foot truck. Our assignment is to reach 8 billion people on planet Earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field, and then he says, go ye therefore. You know, you are the answer. I am the answer. A lot of times the joke about preachers is they only work one day a week. We may only preach in the pulpit, you know, a few times during the week, but I can assure you there is much more work, and the preaching is the fun part. The real work takes place when the services are not in order, you know, that you're out there, you're dealing with people who are sick, you're dealing people with relational problems or challenges arisen. You know, here a few weeks ago, we were contacted by some of our people who had relocated to another part of the country, and they had been in a horrible car accident. That's where the ministry takes place. The ministry takes place outside of the four walls of the church. We gather together to come together and pray the prayer of faith. We gather together to celebrate the testimonies of what God has done as we do the work of the ministry. In the book of Acts, it said that Jesus began to do and to teach. And then the church continued to do and to teach after that. It's the work of the ministry. And so we want to present ourselves, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. There's a difference between not being ashamed and needing to be ashamed. So here he says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And that means you are doing things that the Father wants you to do. You're doing them in the right manner. You're not being negligent in them. And so there's no room for shame, because you are living in obedience. You're living in faithfulness. You are wholeheartedly serving the Lord. In those cases, there is no need to be ashamed. It says to make the most of every opportunity. And so my definition of making the most of that opportunity is do the best that you can with the help of God, to the glory of God, and then you don't need to be ashamed. Well, but we live in a society that is often comparative, and you can hear about it in the stock market. Well, this company didn't do as well financially as that company did. They didn't make as much money, or they lost more money, or whatever. Their market share is not as great. Their stock price is not as high. Everything is about comparisons. Well, that can sneak into the church as well. Well, how big is your building? How many people are attending your church? And we're never called to compare ourselves with one another. We are called to faithful obedience to the task that God has given us to do. And so while the world celebrates magnitude, it celebrates the big, it celebrates, things that are on this huge scale, Jesus celebrated a widow who gave two mites, where everybody else had given out of their abundance. She gave out of all that she had to live on. She gave everything. And he took note of that. So, I've had to, through the years, continue to remind myself, make the most of the opportunity. When I first came, it was, I don't know how long I'll be here. Track record is 2 or 3 years. I will just want to leave it in better shape than it was when I got here. And now I've been there, 32 years. I still want to leave it in better shape than I found it, but I want to make the most of every opportunity. So if you do that, there's no need to be ashamed. But we live in a society where there are people who are living shameful lives, but they are experiencing no shame. There are many that have seared consciences. They do shameful things, and they are not only not ashamed, but they're proud of those. They boast of them. They celebrate them. And then they condemn anyone who does not condone or approve of their shameful conduct. So our work ethic in the kingdom should be that we're all in to the glory of God, and that we don't have to be ashamed, because there is no source of action within us that results in shame. And so I don't ever want to do that. I don't have a perfect track record, neither do you. There are things that I've done that, even when I was trying to do the right thing, there are some things I look back and I say, I can't believe I did that. Okay, now I'm in my 60s. I look back and I see hairstyles that I had when I was a teenager that are like, I can't believe that I wore that. There are clothing choices from back in the day that you probably look back and say, oh, I can't believe we actually wore that stuff. That's embarrassment. That's fashion and things like that. That's one area. We can't afford to have the most important assignment in the world and not doing our best in working for the glory of God. So how do you do this? You don't need to be ashamed because you're rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm a word guy. Several decades ago now, I was asked to teach a Bible study on Wednesday night. I was filling in for the regular teacher. He was a retired pastor. I was a young minister, and he had to go up north. And so he's going to be gone about 3 weeks. The pastor asked me to fill in and teach that Wednesday night Bible study. I said, what could I possibly teach in 3 weeks? And so I got into the book of Jude, and a friend of mine introduced me to a free Bible program where it could do what a concordance does, only it could do it faster. And so I started looking into the words, and I can still tell you, by the way, that 3 week Bible study became a 6 week Bible study, and it changed my ministry, because I wasn't just assuming that I knew what the words meant. I wasn't just assuming that it was a good translation. I was actually looking back at what the original languages had to say, and I saw that God has the ability to keep us, that God has the ability to keep our spiritual adversaries at bay, and that we have responsibilities to keep ourselves. And I was like, I just fell in love with studying the Word of God. This word, rightly dividing, it means to guide along a straight path. I've had to do my fair share of construction for not being in the construction industry. I remember wood shop class when I was in middle school, and building a footstool, and you had to learn how to use hand tools, and thinking that I was cutting a straight line only to find out that the line wasn't straight. It was crooked, so then you have to sand it. You've got to use a plane on it. You got to do whatever is necessary, and sometimes you just have to start all over and say, let's see if we can do this. Well, the way to prevent that from happening is to actually have something that will guide your saw. So if you've got power tools, I've had table saws and things like that, and you can position a guide so that as you are moving the material through the saw, that it cuts it at exactly the angle that it is supposed to be cut. It will be straight. You might not be familiar with sawing, but you may be a painter. Well, I wasn't very good in the arts as far as painting or drawing or things like that. I don't even draw good stick people. My problem when it came to coloring and my problem with painting is I had a very difficult time staying inside the boundaries. When it comes to construction painting, I know my limitations, and so I would have to put up painter's tape so that I could get the line that I wanted, because anything that I missed going over the line would go onto the tape, and you know, then it would be torn off, and you'd get the finish that you were looking for. Why would we pay more attention to a piece of wood? Why would we pay attention more to paint on a wall than we do one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us, and that is the Word of God? The word of truth is the logos of God. It's the divine revelation of God. It's the word of God. It is the word of the Lord. It is the word of truth, and it needs to be handled properly. It needs to be handled carefully. It needs to be interpreted properly. It needs to be taught properly. It needs context. You have to understand that many times some of the most popular verses that are memorized, some of the most popular verses that are quoted, sometimes the most popular verses are preached, are portions of verses, but they miss out on some of the most important context. So there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's great. That's Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. That's something that people like to quote. It's not the end of the verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the condemnation is missing because we're living according to the Spirit. We're walking according to the Spirit. We are not walking according to the carnal desires. So that's one of the reasons why I don't rush going through these topics as we are studying them, is because I want to provide you not just a few words. I want to provide for you the proper context. So the word of truth is a word that is true. It is a word of integrity. It means it's solid. It is genuine. It is of high quality. It is God's reality. It's spiritual reality. It is able to manifest itself in transforming a person's character and the way that they live and the facts that become a reality in their life. So you and I, when we rightly handle the word of truth, it is going to bring about change. First of all, it's going to bring change in us. It can change us intellectually. It can change us emotionally. It can change us behaviorally. When it changes us, then it will change those around us. And when it changes those around us, then all of a sudden it's going to have an influence beyond our context. Now it will be influencing those people's context. So we need to handle the word of God. We can't twist it or distort it. That's what the enemy did when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He distorted the word of God. He quoted it out of context. Jesus reminded him of the context because he is not only knowledgeable about the word, he is the living word. So let's move on to verse number 16. So he's teaching Timothy here. He's instructing him. And he says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. To shun simply means to avoid. If I'm looking and I see that there's a congestion point on my maps program as I'm driving down the road, I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to take another route because I don't want to get stuck in an hour's long congestion. Well, what are the things that we are supposed to avoid in our spiritual journey? Well, he says the first thing is profane or idle babblings, which is idle babblings are chatter or just empty talk. You're talking, you're really not getting any place. You know, anybody can talk, but you want to make a point. Well, the word profane, in the Old Testament, the word profane simply meant something that was common as opposed to something that was holy. And so profanity would be language that is common among unbelievers, but it should be avoided by believers, because we're supposed to, our mouth is supposed to be speaking out of the abundance of our heart, and our heart is supposed to be in a condition of holiness before the Lord, set apart for a holy purpose. Here in the New Testament, profane babblings would be things that are pointless, things that are talking about that are worthless, or that are totally worldly. So I like to bring in practical illustrations to help us to understand what the Word of God can do in our daily lives. I don't flip that script. I don't bring the wisdom of the world to the Word of God and then try to find something in the Word of God to justify a worldly attitude or a worldly mindset. And so something was taking place years ago, and a person asked me a conversation. This goes back well over a decade, and they asked me what I thought about a couple of politicians, and I said, well, both of them have spiritual problems. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, one of them couldn't tell the truth if you forced them to, and the other one is arrogant. God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. And the other one, it says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. I said, both of them have spiritual problems. It's like, wow, you always give me something interesting to think about. You and I, we need to realize that God wants us to use our mouths as the vessel that can transform an intellectual who doesn't understand what God is saying. It can also touch a woman who has been rejected and hurt so many times that she's living every day under the weight of embarrassment, that it could touch a community of outcasts. It could touch a community of people who have been rejected, or it could reach a multitude of people. When you and I are serving God, let's use everything that we have, including our mouth, not to talk about pointless things, but to talk about the kingdom of God. Let's let Jesus be the Lord over our mouth today. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased.